Outfit of the day. How many ready for outfit of the day? How many ready for outfit of the day? All right. And you see, when Wayne came up, that's the Lord speaking to us. He's telling, I've clothed you with my righteousness, and I don't take it back. It doesn't come and go. It's not something you put on or take off. He's clothed us with his righteousness. He's given us everything necessary to go to the four corners of the earth and manifest the goodness of God. So we are dressed for success. We are dressed for victory. We are dressed to overcome. We are dressed to break through in every single sphere of life. All right, Ephesians 6, 10 to 13. Any Bibles out there today? If you got a Bible, let me see it in your hand. Lift it up. Say glory to God. Thought I'd bring one just for fun. You know, we're doing Bible study on Wednesday night in the group there, and they all came with Bibles. I was kind of overwhelmed. Everybody came with like a real Bible. So that's really cool, right? I mean, we're so used to our computers and our phones and all these things, which is great, but I was so happy to see all those Bibles. Ephesians 6, 10 to 13, here we are. Now, beloved ones, I've saved these most important truths for last. So Ephesians, I mean, these first five chapters were amazing what God laid out, and you look at the eternal purposes of God and how he's chosen us and the church to use us. And now Paul says, after all of that good stuff, I got some more really, really important stuff. And he says, listen, I've saved this for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Hey, did you hear that? It doesn't say that you try to be strong. Be strong for the Lord. It's not be strong for the Lord. It's be strong in the Lord. It's be strengthened by him. Let the rich flow of his passionate desire, his supernatural power and strength, let it flow all over you. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union. Did you know that your life is in absolute union with God? You and God are so tight, it's indistinguishable. You cannot tell the difference. When you're walking down the street, the angels and the demons can't tell if that's you or that's Jesus, because you are indistinguishable. You are absolutely one in your life union with God. There is no separation. Nothing can come between you. You are an absolute one spirit with God himself. Here I am. Father, how you doing? Holy Ghost, how you doing? Jesus, good to be here. I'm wrapped up in the Godhead. Fixed in the Godhead, and nothing can take me out of his hands. The only thing that can remove you from the influence of that is dumb, stupid thinking, which tells you that anything can separate you from him. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. I am in life union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing through you. All I got was one woo and a yes. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power. Don't you love that? Stand with his power flowing through you. No, stand with the force of his explosive power flowing through you. Man, if this is all true, we literally should be setting this town on fire. Hey, if we really believe this, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, this is the most important stuff. I mean, five chapters of amazing doctrine, and now he says, listen, all of this, you know what it's all about? It's about the life of God getting in you and the kingdom of God filling the earth. It's about heaven invading every sphere, everywhere you go, walking, dressed in the very glory of God, manifesting heaven in its fullness, the supernatural power of God flowing through you. I mean, this is like crazy. Look at the next verse. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us. It's provided for us. Put on the complete set of, whose armor is it? It's God's armor. It's God's. God has provided us with to be dressed for success. God has provided so that you will be protected as you fight. Say fight. And it's hand-to-hand combat. As you fight, it's the wiles of the devil. As you fight against evil strategies of the accuser, your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings. We don't fight against human beings. Quit getting dragged into arguments and nonsense and other stuff. People in front of you, they're there for one reason, for you to love them. That's it. Love them. If they've offended you, forgive them. Just bless them, bless them, bless them. That's all we're supposed to do with people in front of us, is the same way that we've been loved, love them. And if you haven't been loved, turn to Jesus, let his love explode in your life, and then let that love pour out of your belly to everybody around you. You're not here to condemn people. You're not here to judge people. You're here to love people. And if there's something going on in their life that ain't right, love them. But then behind the scenes, just say, in the name of Jesus, I curse those things that are at work in this person's life. I curse the lies of the devil that are blinding them. Do hand-to-hand combat with the demonic things that are hindering people from seeing a revelation of the goodness of God. But don't bicker with people. You've never bring people into the kingdom through an argument. Arguments end up in bam, bam, bam. But you know, you love people into the kingdom. Even if they're saying, you're nuts, you're crazy. Love you. Want a hug? That's how you do it. Hand-to-hand combat, because we don't fight. We fight against highest principalities, authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits. They hold this world in darkness and in bondage. And here's what God tells us in Ephesians earlier. He says, I've given you spiritual blessings. I've given you spirit-empowered words in heavenly places. I've lifted you up. I've made you alive, raised you up, seated you with me in heavenly places. I've placed you far above every principality, every power. I've placed you far above, not just above, but far above every name that can be named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Where are you? You are reigning, ruling, empowered, given spiritual words to speak and bring deliverance in every realm. You are far above everything that has a name or a title. You are far above anything, and you can speak to it and command it to align with the kingdom of God. That's who you are. Cancer has a name. Cancer, I'm far above you. I'm seated in a heavenly realm, and I got a word for you. Jesus Christ heals. By his stripes, I am healed. I am free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I command you in the name of Jesus, come out. Wow. All of these things, these powerful demons, we got authority over. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides. Who provides it? God provides. So you're protected as you confront the slanderer, the liar, the dirty dog. Pastor said, I'm mighty. No, you're not. Oh, I'm not. I'm not really sorry. I mean, you get attacked all the time. The enemy says, if you were powerful, why is this happening in your life? If you were what the Bible says, and then you go, wow, maybe God doesn't like me. Maybe I'm not even a believer. Oh my God. And then he lies to you and he slanders you and he accuses you. But you know, we put on the whole armor of God. We're going to destroy all of his lies. We're going to tear away all of his deception. And we're going to get the kingdom of God filling the city of London. Or we can go with the other plan. Jesus, get us out of here. It's getting bad. That's what a lot of people are on, that plan. The Jesus, get us out of this mess plan. I'm not on that plan. We're not here to get out of the mess. We're here to take over. He didn't say, hide in your room till I come. He said, occupy until I come. So we're not here to make friends with anything evil. We're here to come against it, destroy it, and cast it out. And we're here to establish God's love, God's grace, and God's peace all over the city. Hey. Confront the slanderer, hallelujah. And this, so look what it says, for you are destined for all things, and you will rise victorious. The King James says, and having done all to stand, stand. But the word stand means more than just stand. Well, I tried everything, so I guess I'm just going to stand here. What are you waiting for? I'm waiting for what I'm waiting for. You see, it's way more than that. It's actually a prophetic word. Having done all of that to stand, you will rise. You will come forth victorious. It's a prophetic word over you. If you do this, if you take this on, you will rise and you will be powerful and you will manifest victory in every circumstance in your life. Hey. I don't know if it was just the sunshine today, but boy, I feel good. You feel good? Glory to Jesus. People who base their relationship with God on their performance are only as free and satisfied as they are able to sustain their performance. That's a summary of the last 2 weeks. I don't want to preach it all over yet. But you see, it's not about your performance. It's about you by faith leaning into his performance. See, and being clothed in Christ is saying, by faith, I receive all that he did. I receive all the benefits of being a child of God. And I don't receive it because I'm able to do it. I don't receive it because I'm able to behave properly. I don't believe it. I don't receive it because I've finally attained to a level of holiness where he says, qualified. I do it because he qualified me. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Christ isn't saying, if you would just straighten up, I'd give you my power. You know what God does? God says, I'm going to give you my power so you can straighten up. We're not trying to qualify for it. He already qualified us. And you know, that's what's amazing. So those who choose to be clothed by God are completely satisfied and free because of his performance. And sadly, churches keep on teaching, you know, self-help messages and behavior modification messages. And, you know, God would really bless your life if you would do X, Y, and Z. You know, but here it is. God has blessed my life. Therefore, I can do X, Y, and Z. God has loved me. Therefore, I can love others. God has forgiven me. Therefore, I can forgive others. God has blessed me. Therefore, I can bless others. Hello? God has clothed me with supernatural power. Therefore, I can go and kick the teeth of the devil in everywhere I go, deliver people, heal people, set people free. Because God set me free, I am now an agent of freedom. And now in and through me, he is reconciling the world to himself. Settle down. I'm going to start preaching. The Sunday prayer at West Point. West Point, the Sunday prayer. Make us choose the harder right instead of the easier wrong. Never to be contented with half a truth when the whole truth can be won. Endow us with courage that is born of loyalty to all that is noble and worthy, that scorns to compromise with vice and injustice and knows no fear when right and truth are in jeopardy. That's the Sunday prayer at West Point. But what I want you to see there is truth, truth, truth. Ephesians 6:14, put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. The Amplified Bible says, so stand firm and hold your ground, having tightened the wide band of truth, personal integrity, and moral courage around your waist. Now we're going to step into the armor. And the first piece of armor is the belt of truth. It's a belt. The substance of the belt, the material of the belt, is truth. The most important piece of armor is the first one, which is truth. And you need to wrap yourself, you need to surround yourself in truth. Say truth. Truth is very important. You know why it's important? Because the devil is a liar. Therefore, you need to know the truth. Know the truth, and the truth will make you free. See, truth doesn't set you free. Knowledge of the truth sets you free. Hello? Here's something. It's back in the notes, but listen. It's not knowledge of all kinds of information sets you free. It's knowledge of the truth. It's knowledge of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Otherwise, I've turned it all into works. To the degree that I can get the word in my life determines the degree of my freedom. So if I can get lots and lots of information, then I can only be as free as the information I can contain. See, but truth is personal, and truth is a person. And the Holy Spirit comes in and he will lead you into all truth. See, it's not you trying to assimilate truth. It's truth is pursuing you. And that's different. Because we're not saying, hey, I'm saved, but now I got to go on this truth quest. No, truth went on a quest for you. Truth came, and truth is now the living way, and truth is Jesus. And abide in Jesus, and the truth will make you free. But somewhere we turned it into, if you just get enough Bible study, you can get free. No, you see, freedom took place 2,000 years ago. You're free. The Bible study is now just to enjoy and come into the revelation of how free I really am. I don't get free through the Bible study. I'm free because of what Jesus did. The Bible study is to unpack the freedom that I already have. The Bible study is letting my mind catch up with what my spirit already knows. Who the Son sets free is free if he goes to Bible study. No, who the Son set free is free indeed. Does that mean I don't have to go to Bible study? No, you have to come to Bible study, especially mine. But you don't come because you're trying to get free. You come because I want to unpack how free I am. I want to unpack all the beautiful details of my freedom. Amen. That was a real subtle little twist, but you got to get that. There's a lot of religious people on this treadmill. I'll get there someday. One of these days, I'm going to learn enough about healing. One of these days, I'm going to learn enough about, you know, the one who learned it all, the one who knows it all. Every single test is open book. Every single test, you got a built-in tutor. Did you read all those scriptures yet? No, which one? I can't remember which one I need right now. You need this one. It's an open book, and the tutor will just tell it to you. He'll just tell it to you. Well, see, I was born in a home of Welsh heritage, and we had a whole bunch of people in the Welsh revival. The Welsh miners were illiterate. They were illiterate. But they would come out of the coal mines, and they would go to church, and they would stand there, and they would begin to prophesy, and they would quote scripture while they prophesied, and they would say stuff and stuff like that. They go, you know, brother Jones over here, he just came to Jesus a week ago, and he just quoted the whole third chapter of Ephesians. It was supernatural. But we put a lot of natural on our super instead of letting the super get on our natural. Settle down. Thank you, Kelly. All right, stand firm your ground with a wide belt of truth, personal integrity. All right, Acts chapter 28, 16. Now, when Paul came to Rome, he was there in a rented home, but he was permitted to dwell there by himself, but he had to have a soldier who guarded him every day. Every single day, all day, every day, Paul had a soldier with him. When did Paul write the book of Ephesians? When he was in Rome. What was going on in Rome? Every day, Paul was confronted with a Roman soldier. Every day, he saw a guy in armor there with him every day. And so he decided to take this analogy. It's also scriptural. Isaiah talks about Jesus clothed himself with righteousness. So he took that, looking at this guy, he started to describe the armor of a Roman soldier, and he started to put material of the spirit realm, that this is how we work in the spirit. This is how we wage warfare in the spirit. Now, when he came to Rome, he saw that soldier. God prepared a winning strategy, and he provided effective armor. So there's a picture right there of the belt. Is that awesome? Is that helpful? That's a picture of the belt. Now, sometimes in movies and stuff, you see the belt goes all the way around, but traditionally, archaeologists, when they found belts, it was more like that. The special little things that were hanging with, and they'd put metal ornaments and metal stuff, and some were bigger belts than others, and some put more metal stuff on than others. But I want you to know that that belt was hanging over a very personal place. And it was there on purpose. Can I get a hallelujah? Hallelujah for the belt, Pastor. Hallelujah. That's the belt right there. You see, the belt was the first thing they put on. Before they put on anything else, the belt would tuck their tunic in. They'd put everything in that. And the belt was very, very important. Deuteronomy 33:11 says, strike the loins of those who rise against him and those who hate him, and they shall not rise again. If you strike the loins, They're going to be done. They're not going to stand up and fight you anymore. You get those loins. Glory to Jesus. So you take that. I tell you, a little three-year-old kid can kind of, hi, Pastor, boom. And, oh, I'm not going to be good for much for a few minutes. It's in the Bible. Cheer up. Strike the loins, and they will not rise up again. I tell you, boom, bang. All right, 1 Peter 1:13 says, gird the loins of your mind. How many thought you'd hear loins in church? Amen. Glory to God. Gird up the loins of your mind. Did you know that your mind has loins? Now, the word loins means the procreative, the creative ability. And that's that realm. And so it's an area where creation and procreation takes place. So you in your mind is able to create your future. And your mind is a place where images come and pictures come. The world puts things in your mind. The devil puts things in your mind. You put things in your mind. But God says, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up your mind. Gird up that procreative area of your life. Because the enemy is going to attack that area and try to confound you and trouble you and distort everything in your life, but you got a responsibility to put your mind straight. Take authority right there. If you don't fix yourself in truth, you will pervert every other instrument of war. Truth is the first piece of armor. Truth is the central piece of armor. It's not an accumulation of information, but it is a foundation of sincerity of heart. As I said, it's not how much information can I retain. It's not a pursuit, you know, of I'm going to consume more of the Bible. Well, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But you see, I don't have Father, Son, and Holy Book. I got Father, Son. I got the third person of the Trinity living in me, leading me and directing me into all truth. So here I am. It's a heart that is sincere. It's a heart without wax. It's a heart that is undefiled. It's a heart that is pure. It's a heart that is looking to Jesus. Victory or defeat is determined by the loins. Strength is in the loins. The Roman soldier kept his money, his sword, his writing instrument, his garments, everything tucked in his belt. The belt is important. You need truth in your finance. You need truth in every aspect of your life. You need truth in all that you consume. Truth has to be central. A person not established in truth will be poor, defenseless, misunderstood, and unkept. Truth. Be diligent to present yourself, approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who knows how to rightly divide the word of truth. If you cannot divide the word of truth, if you don't understand to walk in the word, if you don't understand to participate in the word, if you're not rich in the word and in a relationship with the Holy Ghost walking in truth, you are somebody. It says there's shame attached to people who don't have a working revelation of the word. You've got to have a revelation of truth, and truth is foundational. There's different tenses here. The first three pieces of armor, it says having put on. So this isn't something you put on and put off. I don't take my armor off. Did you put your armor on today? No, because I never took it off last night. You should stay. Your armor is fixed. Your righteousness, it's fixed on you. The truth is fixed on you. So the second three pieces are called take up. So in those, we have to take up. And the three of them are on you all the time. The other three you take up when you're going to engage in hand-to-hand combat with the devil. So the first three are armor that has established you and is established in you continuously. John 18, 37 to 38. How are you doing? John 18, 37, 38, this is why I was born. That's what Jesus said. This is why I was born. This is why I was born. And for this I've come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth, who is a friend of the truth, who belongs to the truth, hears and listens to my voice. And this was in front of Pilate. Pilate said, well, what is truth? Jesus said, I am truth. I am truth, and this is why I came into the world, to bear witness to truth. Abraham Lincoln, here's what he said about truth. He said, how many legs would a sheep have if you called the tail a leg? Well, they said, well, he'd have five. And he said, no, it would only have four legs. Calling a tail a leg does not make it one. It's very simple, isn't it? I said to Cheryl this morning, if we called the sheep's tail a leg, how many legs would it have? She said, five. I said, no. Just because you call the tail a leg, don't make it a leg. Right? Listen, this is really subtle stuff. Well, I like to think it's five legs. I think so too. You do too? You agree? Let's be a part of the five-leg team. I'm with you. I kind of like the five. If you call it a leg, it's a leg. Oh, you come on over here. So we're the five-leg team. What are you doing over there? We kind of think the tail's a leg. It's not a leg. Are you stupid? Called me stupid? You're persecuting us? You bigot? It's five legs. Five legs. We're part of the five-leg team. We got a song. We are the five-leg. Come join us. We're the five-leg team. All of a sudden, we got all this crowd over here. Sheep have five legs. Sheep have five legs. Sheep have five legs. Over here, we're like, it's clearly four. It's only four legs. It's five legs. You guys are deceived. You're stupid. You're lost in space. There's only four legs, four legs. There's only four legs. Now, that's a really weird story, isn't it? But there's all kinds of people who see the world in certain ways. And you join little clubs where you all think the same. And so I'm with my little club. This is the way we see the world. So we join those clubs. And if you don't see it the way I do, I withdraw and I find my crowd. Well, that's your truth, dude. This is my truth. And now we got a world that has all kind of nonsense going on, but we're all terrified to say anything about it because the crowd's really big and they're ugly. They're not ugly to look at. Some of them are just beautiful, but I mean, there's real emotion attached to this. All of you are wondering, who's he talking about? Well, the Presbyterians, of course. Pescatarian. I'm a pescatarian. Sorry, I keep getting that mixed up. Lord, forgive the Presbyterians. But you can wrap that up in just about anything. You know, we do that. But you know, when that happens, don't you wish? I mean, don't you wish that there was absolute truth? Don't you wish that there was a way that we could know the truth? Not your truth, not my truth, but the truth. Pastor's really meddling right now. Oh my God. Oh my God. Can you feel it? George Barna said this, his book, Virtual America. He said, 72% of Americans agree with this. There's no such thing as absolute truth. Two people could divine truth in totally conflicting ways. Both could be correct. That's what they think. You can both describe something. It's got five legs. It's got four legs. Oh, well, whatever. It's all good. Let's just be friends. He also said that page 83 of and page 283, 71% say there is no absolute standards that apply to everybody in all situations. So we have a situational ethic. Depends on the situation, Pastor. All right. He also discovered 53% of those who claim that there is no such thing as absolute truth identify themselves as born again Christians. 53% say there's no such thing as absolute truth. 42% of those who identify themselves as evangelical Christians agree that there's no such thing as absolute truth. Wow. So on the screen there, you got George Barna said, unfortunately, correcting people's mistaken assumptions about Bible content is nearly impossible because their self-assurance about their belief, even if they're exposed to good Bible teaching, they typically fail to absorb that input because they think they already know it all. See, we as a church emphasize grace. And sometimes when you're new to this church, you think we're going too far. That's because sadly, a lot of people have been beat up by religion and they've been drunk and intoxicated on performance. And they keep on thinking that God's only pleased with me if I make myself pleasing to him. And they go through all these exercises. When I tell people, you can't get any closer to God than you are right now. But I was just at a conference, Let's Get Closer conference. It was so awesome. We all cried and wept and stuck our noses in the concrete. God, we want you, we want you. And God's like, I'm here. I never left you. But you see, when you're conditioned with all of this stuff, when I say, God's never, ever going to get closer to you than he is right now. You are so tight with him, he'll never leave you or forsake you. But I was told if I sin, I separate myself from God. That's rubbish. But I could say that to you right now. But if you've been taught that all your life, you're conditioned to think that if I blow it, God withdraws from me. That's rubbish. When you blow it, God steps closer. And he says, hey, what's going on there? And then we keep on thinking that I got to get back to God. We got to have a get back to God club. You know, God will not bless our city unless we all get right with Jesus. And we really believe that. It's rubbish. Everything necessary for God to invade the city happened at the cross 2,000 years ago. Jesus opened the heavens once and for all, and he's just looking for a few people that would stand up in faith and say, God bless the city of London. Instead of staying in our own little clubs going, I'm sorry, you sorry, I forgive you, we're sorry, I'm sorry. I can't tell you how many times I've repented of so many things, thinking that if we finally repent enough, God will come. It's nuts. But if you drank that Kool-Aid for too long, you're listening to me right now, and inside you're going, no. It's very, very hard to get people to the truth, even if I was a better teacher. If you're stuck there, it's hard because you think you already know. Truth is a big deal. Three types of truth. The history of truth in three easy steps. There's pre-modernism, authority, and tradition establishes truth. I grew up in that. Whatever the pastor said was true. He said it, I believed it, boom. I was terrified of the pastor. Boom. Whatever he said was truth. I didn't have all these channels on TV and podcasts and all that other stuff. I couldn't listen to anybody else. My pastor was the voice of God in my world. And authority, with us boomers, authority. Authority said it, that established truth, we're going to do it. Modernism, no, went only what can be scientifically proven is truth. So we're going to question things now because science contradicts this. A little bit of science will take you away from God. A whole lot of science will bring you right back. Then there's postmodernism, where we are right now. Every man for himself. Well, that's your truth, dude. I got this other truth. I wish there was a standard of truth, don't you? Truth, the unveiled reality at the basis of and agreeing to the appearance of the manifested veritable essence of the matter. Truth, that's the word aletheia. That's the Greek word for truth. Truth, just out of the dictionary, an objective standard by which reality is measured, fidelity to the original standard. Truth is that which conforms to the reality. Say reality. Would you get some reality between your ears? The reality. What is reality? What is the objective standard? Francis Frangipane said, to ascend towards God is to walk into a furnace of truth where falsehood is extracted from our souls. Each ascending step upon the hill of God is thrusting our souls into greater transparency, a more perfect view into the motives of our hearts. We need truth to set us free. Here's a picture of Big Ben. There's Big Ben. How many knew that was Big Ben? Now, it's said in London that if your watch doesn't match Big Ben, get your watch to line up with Big Ben. So wherever you are in London, we all got the same time because Big Ben rules. Big Ben rules. Big Ben, that's the time. No, I got 10 after. No, Big Ben says 10. That's the way it is. So they have an absolute standard for time. Amen. What's amazing now is we pull open our phones and all of our phones will say the same time. Isn't that amazing? What time is it? The clocks in this building, every one of them is wrong. It just drives me nuts. I'm sitting in a meeting and all of a sudden I walk out and this clock is 15 minutes here, 10 minutes there. Can we not get a clock that works in this church? It's driving me nuts. Amen. But it's because they're all over the map. But you see what it is when all of us have our own truth. All of us have our, it's this. Don't you wish there was objective truth? Don't you wish there was a standard we could all line up with? That's terrifying. All right here. This is the atomic clock. The atomic clock. That's what everything's based on in North America. It's in Boulder, Colorado, the atomic clock. So accurate that it would neither gain nor lose a second in over 30 million years. I mean, this is absolute time. This is perfect time. This is time. I mean, this thing would never move in 30 million years. This is time. Yes, we can all agree on time. Wish we could agree on all the other stuff going on in the world. Are you okay? I'm coming to a rapid conclusion. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. We do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty God that is pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Not to the obedience of you, but to the obedience of Christ. Jesus Christ is truth. He did everything absolutely right. He is absolute truth. He manifests the Father perfectly. You got to bring everything that doesn't look like Jesus, everything that doesn't look like the conformity of Christ to the will of his Father, everything that doesn't look like him and his obedience. It's not about your obedience. It's about you aligning yourself with his obedience. It's about you receiving the gift of his righteousness. It's not about me saying I'm right or I'm wrong. It's letting him, his word, his Spirit, call all the balls and strikes and all of us coming under his lordship. And that may take some of us a little more time than others. Some of us are stuck in some little crowds where I still think it's five legs. It's really not. It's really not. But there's got to be some strongholds. They got to get broken off our culture. But we don't battle with arguments. We battle with love. We battle with understanding. We battle with care. All right. Let me look at this and I'm going to wrap it up. This is truth. There's truth. All right. Truth is the big blue orb. That's truth. Now there's your truth in green and there's my truth in red. I want you to notice that my truth is a little closer to all the truth than yours. I just had to do that. But if you take a look at my truth, there's a red part that's away from truth. That means there's a portion of my whole belief system that doesn't line up with God. And there's a portion that does. And then I got a little wedge. If you look at the top, you can see that my truth and your truth, they kind of overlap a little bit. So we agree on some stuff, but there's a lot of stuff where you're way out there in the green. You are whacked. You are just, whew, I tell you, you got some crazy stuff going on in your head. But you know what? There is truth. And we got to come into a place where if we don't have the belt of truth firmly established around us, I tell you, we can get tossed around. We can get beat up. You get tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine because you're not grounded in truth. And you see, the only thing the enemy can do is deceive you. And if you got an area that's not truth, if you're deceived into thinking, well, I like to think, I love my mom. God bless her. She's with Jesus right now. But my mom would argue with me sometimes about my preaching. And my mom would start by saying, well, Carl, I like to think. And I would say, Mom, that's your problem. You like to think. If she was here, she would nod and say, that's true. But sometimes we do. But I need my mind to be transformed. I need my mind to catch up with what my spirit already knows. We folks, we need to let the spirit of truth really bring us into all truth. And you need to in reality and with sincerity, I got some other stuff up there, but I'm done. You can read the notes, they're online. But we got to be willing to step into reality. You got to be willing, as Francis Rangapane said, come without any fear, walk into the furnace of his truth and let all falsehood be broken off of you. Let all hypocrisy be broken off. Any area where your relationship with God is a fantasy and not reality, let that get broken off you. Because if we're going to do what God's called us to do in this day, we got to be established in truth. Not your truth, not my truth, not the world's truth, not the five-legged sheep truth, but the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. If you abide in me and my truth, and my word abides in you, you can ask what you will, it'll be done for you. But you see, truth is personal. It's not a book. It's not a study. It's Jesus. It's personal. It's personal. It's knowable. You can know it. You can know it. And it's powerful because it'll change your whole life. It'll change this whole city. It'll change this whole world. Amen.